Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Wow. Amazing. Hey, well, while you're standing, why don't we pray for the Word of God? Why don't you reach out your hands? Father, I thank you for every person here. God, we thank you for your word. God, we pray that you would do something significant in the lives of every person. God, we pray that our hearts would be fertile soil. God, we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of your word. So God, make us moldable in your hands tonight. God, we declare that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a big, big hand of praise? You can take your seats. Amazing. Thank you for the opportunity to bring the word. Thanks, Pastor Joe and the whole team, Pastor Wayne. But I also want to thank Pastor John and Lois Spinella for being here. They're the vice president of our movement. So why don't you give him a big, big hand? And I'm very blessed to preach in the all-in service. I love this church. If you don't know who we are, my wife is here. Give her a hand as well, Amanda. There's my family, my two children, Jackson and Ruby. We've been married 23 years and we have a 16-year-old son who's got his L plates. I don't know how that happened. And my daughter is 14 and no one's allowed to ever go near her. In Jesus' name. And we've been in ministry about 23 years. We pastored in Sydney and in Melbourne and in Thailand. And a lot of that time, if you have no idea, maybe you just walked into church tonight, was a part of this church. So we love this church. It doesn't matter what campus you go to, the heartbeat of this church is such a beautiful place and God does such an amazing thing in this house across every single campus. So it's a privilege to bring the word to you tonight. And many of you know we started East Campus many years ago. And then if you're from East Campus, give me a yell. And then we felt God speak to us about Thailand. And who knows that it's a lot easier to speak about faith than to live by faith. And you know, I used to come to altars just like this, probably in this church and in other churches growing up as well. And I would pray this prayer, here I am, send me. Anyone else prayed that prayer? Who knows that God hears your prayer? I just thought I was going out, the lights were down, the keys were on, and I thought I'm just gonna, you know, pray this prayer, here I am, send me. Unfortunately, God heard that prayer. And then he tapped us on the shoulder and then it was up to us whether or not we were going to obey that. And we felt God tell us to do that. It's not for everyone, but for us, we felt God put the seed to do that. And we stepped out in faith with two children. Who knows that I should have really prayed, here I am, send him. Or here I am, send her. Rather than here I am, send me. Because God heard it and he wants us to live a life of faith and obedience. It doesn't matter if it's your first night in church or you've been coming to church for years and years and years, we got to live a life of faith. Then about 5 years ago, we moved back to Australia and joined the team at Alpha Crucis University College. That's a mouthful. We just say AC. It's a lot easier. And we've got campuses all around the country. It's our national college, training college. 4,500 students. We have a campus right in the CBD here in Melbourne. Don't tell the others. I think it's the best campus going around. And it's been a privilege to serve as the national director. And my wife is also on team at Alpha Crucis as well. Well, who's ready for the word of God? Are you ready? I want to speak to you a bit of a life message, and the title of my message is The Surrendered Disciple. The Surrendered Disciple. Here's the truth, you and I never graduate from surrender. I wish I got to a point in my life growing up in the home of a missionary kid, a pastor's kid, a church planter, or if I'd followed God long enough, I wish there would be a point where I kind of had it all together and I didn't fully need to surrender everything to God. But every season of your life requires a surrender to God. It doesn't matter if you're 100 years old in the building or if you're a young teenager in the building, we all have to live a life of surrender and we don't graduate from surrender. We have to live a life where we say, here I am, Lord, here I am, Lord. I think it's one of the greatest prayers we can pray. It's not just what we can do for God, it's actually saying my whole life is God's. Whether he keeps me in the same place my whole life or moves me around, my life is his. And it's living a life of obedience to that and listening to the voice of God that'll keep us useful in the hands of God. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. If you don't know where that is, it's just after Exodus chapter 2. Every preacher has used that, but I thought I'd try it on you. Prior to this moment, the Israelites were crying out to God for help because of their slavery. And God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, that he would give them protection and land, and that they would follow him. And Moses was out tending some sheep on the mountain of God. And it says this in Exodus 3, verse 3 to 5. You've probably read this scripture before, possibly. It says, so Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Just pause there for 1 second. Who knows, growing up, when your mum called your name twice, you were dead. Is it? Like if it was your full name, like Jesse Dylan Winter, like you're in trouble. But if your name got called twice, you knew, man, I'm gone. In scripture, when you see a name used twice, God's trying to get some attention. He's trying to get that person's attention. And God says here, Moses, Moses. And Moses said those three words, here I am. Don't come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. He went on to tell Moses that he had heard the cries of the people. And he was going to use Moses to lead them out of slavery into the promised land. Who knows, when God has your heart, the rest is easy. If he has you, if you pray, here I am, I think things that follow that are actually easier. Because you've surrendered your whole life to God. And now when he asks you to do something, to give something, to bless someone, to serve somewhere, it's a lot easier because you made a decision long ago that my life's not my own. I'm yours. Here I am. And God says to Moses, he speaks to Moses, and Moses says, here I am. See, here's the truth. When you and I come to Christ, we're a little bit like a wild horse. You're like, thank you, Jesse. I came out on a Sunday night at 4 p.m. for you to call me a wild horse. What an encouraging spirit you have. But the truth is, when we come to Christ, we need to surrender to him. And then there's a word here that we need to be broken. We don't like to preach that because oftentimes if we have to surrender or if we're broken, there's another word we don't like to use. It's called yielded to God. It means that it's up to God and it's not on my terms. My life is in his hands. It's up to him what he's doing, and we trust him for what's best, but we are yielded to God. See, D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist, said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man, I'll put woman there, man and woman, fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. See, when you begin to pursue God, he begins to set you apart. He begins to set you apart. So here's Moses, full of doubt, full of insecurity, giving all the reasons why God should choose somebody else. Surely there's someone better looking. Surely there's someone that can speak better than me. Surely there's someone more intelligent than me. He's full of insecurity, full of doubt, giving all the reasons why God should choose somebody else, why he isn't qualified, yet God still used him to deliver a nation. Amen? So I want to give you four principles, four keys that a life of serving God, I believe if you want to be a surrendered disciple, these are some things that you need to do. The first one is this: disciples recognize his voice. See, a sign of maturity is the time between God speaking and your yes in responding. It's actually not how long you've been in church, how big your Bible is, how serious you are in praise and worship. It's when God speaks to you, are you willing to respond? Because I've seen people who are very mature in age, but not necessarily in life. And I've seen people who are very young in age, but actually they carry maturity beyond their years. Why is that? Because they're willing to listen to the voice of God. And they don't care what other people might say. They don't care if there's backlash or opposition. They're willing to do what God says. They're willing to step out in faith. If God speaks, they're going to do it. It might not make sense, but they're willing to do it. See, a surrendered disciple listens to the voice of God. That's how you keep useful, is by keep listening and keep obeying. See, discipleship isn't about volume. It's about proximity. If you're a disciple, you live close enough to recognize his voice. My sheep know my voice. They can hear the voice of God. It doesn't mean you hear the voice every day, but you're close enough to hear the voice of God. See, Exodus 3 verse 3 says, Moses is saying in this scripture we read earlier, I must go and see it. And he saw a burning bush and he said, I've got to get closer. And in verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, he spoke. See, when Moses drew near, then God spoke. It's interesting that God didn't talk until Moses moved. I've been a pastor for many years and I hear many people say, Jesse, I'm just waiting on a word from God. And I say, that's awesome. I'd love to hear God too. But I said, what are you doing about it? And they say, nothing. Are you drawing closer in any way? Are you in church? Well, no, I go sometimes. Are you in a life group? No, I don't. You know, the leader said something that challenged me and I didn't really want to go back. And I'm like, well, if you want to hear, a life group leader just was like, amen. I see that hand. See, what happens is we've got to draw closer to God. We've got to have a posture in our life where we say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to draw closer. It's interesting that Moses had to take a step closer and then God spoke. And then God began to speak into his life. Here is a key. God is a whisperer. I don't know about you, but when God speaks, I want God to speak to me and write it in the sky. It's like, God, I got a big decision coming up. You know that already, God. So how about this next week? I'll give you a week, a bit of time if you've got other things on. Like, you know, you can fit those in. But this week sometime, just get a plane to go straight past my office and tell me exactly. If you do that, I promise I will do it. Who else bargains with God? I don't know about you, but we bargain with God, and I wish God would speak like that, but oftentimes God speaks in a still small voice. He speaks in a still small voice. He wants us to hear his voice. It says in the Old Testament, he told Elijah, I'm not in the wind, I'm not in the fire, I'm not in the earthquake, I'm in the still small voice. See, oftentimes we can't hear the voice of God because we're so far away. If I'm on the other side of the room and someone whispers, I won't even hear what they've said. And God wants us to keep pursuing him. He wants us to keep getting closer to him so that we can hear his still small voice. We must come closer. It's all about proximity with God. See, when God saw Moses pursuing his presence, God began to speak. The Bible says, draw near to God and I'll draw near to you. A verse jumped out at me a few months ago in scripture about Joshua in the Bible. And many of you know Joshua followed on from Moses as the leader of the people of God. And this verse in Exodus 33, verse 11 jumped out at me. And it says this, it should come up on the screen. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. I've heard a lot about that, which is awesome. But then I read this second part and it jumped out at me. It says, then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, here it is, did not leave the tent. I wonder if God chose Joshua to be the leader, not because of his strategic mind. I wonder if God chose Joshua to be the leader of the nation, not because of his upbringing. I wonder if God chose Joshua to be the leader, not because of his military success. I wonder if God chose Joshua because he was able and willing to stay behind in the presence of God. He was more interested in the presence of God than anything else. And can I tell you, if you're more mature in years and you've been serving God for a long time, it's interesting that as Moses pursued God, the next generation wanted to linger in his presence. And if you're serving Jesus for many years, can I encourage you, the best legacy you can leave a younger person is your commitment to Jesus Christ, your love for the presence of God, your love for the house of God, your love for the people of God, your love for the city. If you leave that kind of legacy, you'll leave a mark on the next generation. Don't worry about leaving just money. Don't worry about just leaving buildings. Friends, leave a legacy of the presence and power of God, where the next generation will look at you and say, I'm following that person. I'm following their example. See, Joshua was chosen. I wonder if God thought there's someone more interested in the presence, in the power of God. He's willing to stay behind. The first thing is disciples hear God's voice. The second thing is disciples cultivate a hunger. Disciples cultivate a hunger. If you want to follow Jesus for the long term, you need to cultivate a hunger for God. How do you do that practically? You guys probably know it. You read his word. You spend time in prayer. You spend time with other passionate believers. The reason I say passionate believers is because it's easy to find someone who's a little bit, you know, they're not sure about everything that's happening. And they're just a little critical, a little cynical. What can happen is if in your life you surround yourself with people like that, you'll become like that. Can I encourage you, spend time in the word, spend time in worship, in prayer, but then spend time with other believers who love his presence, who are passionate for him, and you will begin to cultivate a hunger for God. Do you have a secret place in your life? Sometimes when life gets busy, the first thing that can go in my life is a secret place. And it can be the thing that's pushed to the side, but can I tell you, that's the greatest area of strength in your life, is the secret place, is your time with the Lord. Someone once told me the secret to prayer is prayer in secret. I want to be an intercessor. I really want to pray. The secret to prayer is prayer in secret, is when no one's watching you. No one's going, wow. That you would still decide on a winter's morning in Melbourne, you know what? I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to get up and build a secret place in my life. I remember many years ago, I got invited to preach in the UK. I was over there for something else and a friend of mine said, hey, would you preach in my church on a Sunday morning? And he said, after, I'm going to take you out to an all-you-can-eat Indian buffet. I looked at the guy and I said, I didn't even realize there was such a thing. Is this heaven? that you could have an all-you-can-eat Indian buffet. How do they survive in these places? How do they not run out of business? That is crazy. So as I was preaching, it was beautiful to preach the word of God and minister, but to be honest, the whole time I was thinking, I'm going to all-you-can-eat Indian. You might look at me and think he's not holy at all, but the truth, that's just the honest truth. I was thinking, man, I cannot wait to go to an all-you-can-eat Indian. Take me to heaven right now. So we get there, and they've got everything you can imagine. Chicken biryani, dal, all the naan breads, all the curry, everything beautiful that you could imagine. And I'm fairly skinny, but you know those skinny people that can eat a lot? You know one. You can put your hand up. You know one. That's me. And I thought to myself, I'm sitting down and I'm like 10 naan breads in. Rookie mistake. Carbs are a bad idea. And I'm eating as much food as, and I'm like, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. I can't believe this food. This is incredible. And I hit a point where I thought, I think I'm going to explode. Does anyone know what? I didn't wear the elastic pants. And I'm so full that I can't move. And I think I'm going to roll out of this place. And I said, please, don't give me any more food. I am going to vomit. That is too much. See, the truth in your walk with the Lord and mine is in the natural, when you eat, you get full. But in the spirit, when you eat, you get hungry. In the spirit, when you eat, you get hungry. That's why you think, man, it's so difficult to pray. Sometimes you pray, and if you're like me, you're like, all right, I'm inspired by Pastor Joe's message on Sunday, and that's it. Tomorrow morning, I'm waking up, and I'm going to pray. And you get up, and you pray, and you look at your watch, and you go, I've only prayed for 1 minute. Like, am I backslidden? Or like, I'm not even committed long enough. And some of us can get up in the morning and want to pray and feel like we can't sense His presence. But the truth is, when we have a hunger for God and a hunger for His word, we get a further hunger from Him that comes upon us. See, sometimes you don't have an appetite for God because you might not be eating His word. You might not have an appetite for God's presence because you're not drinking His living water. See, something is activated by seeking. The truth is, God has set an all-you-can-eat banquet, a buffet for you. And He says, sit down. You can eat. You can drink of my presence. And some of us walk right past it, get on with our day. We go straight past, and God says, if you would just sit and eat and drink, you would be full of my presence. Can I encourage you, cultivate a hunger for God. If you want to be a surrendered disciple, you need to cultivate a hunger for God. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, the second part of it says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know that verse? God is a rewarder of the, He wants to reward you. He wants to reward you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, not occasionally, but diligently. If you're passionate about something, you'll do almost anything. I was talking to Josh about half marathons and marathons. And I know Steve's a marathon runner. And there's people that would look at you when you tell them you've done a marathon and they go, you are crazy. They're probably right. But the truth is, if you're passionate about it and you're committed to it, you get up at all different hours. It's 4 a.m. What are you doing waking up and running? Because you're diligent, you're committed to it. And the same is with your walk with God. It's not an occasional thing, it's a diligence. It's a diligence to the things of God. See, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But the thing I love about that verse more than anything is that it says that He rewards you if you seek Him. It means you don't even have to find Him. Have you ever spent time with the Lord and you're like, I don't even know if the Lord turned up today. I can't sense his presence. I'm just praying and I'm praying and I can't sense the Lord's presence at all. The truth is, you'll begin to see breakthrough in your life and in your family just for seeking him. Just by creating a habit of seeking the Lord. That will change your life as you develop a hunger for the things of God. See, disciples hear the voice of God. Disciples cultivate a hunger. And the third thing is disciples allow God to shape them. If you're going to live a surrendered life, you're going to have to allow God to shape you. Jeremiah 18 verse 1 to 6 says this. It'll come up on the screen. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Here's the truth. I couldn't get a potter's wheel quick enough on stage, but I did get Play-Doh. So if you're wanting to be a disciple that continues to follow the Lord, it's not possible without asking and allowing him to shape you. I don't know if in the last 12 months your life might have felt a little bit like this, that God is stretching your life and squeezing your life. And sometimes God pushes on an area of your life, and if you're like me, you think, "Not there, God. That I don't need that right now. There's a lot of other stuff happening." And God just gets his finger and pushes on an area of your life. And he says, "Jesse, that attitude needs to go, mate. You think it's fine, but I don't think it's fine, and it needs to go." And God begins to mold you and to shape you. And he begins to form you into a vessel that isn't a vessel that's just a showpiece, but it's a vessel that's useful. Some of us want to be passionate for God, but we don't want God to deal with us. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you want to be a disciple for Jesus Christ, God's hands have to be on your life. And the truth is, the blessings of this world don't compare to the prunings of God, because God is shaping you. I sensed as I was preparing this and thinking of you that God is molding you. And some of the areas of your life that need to be dealt with are painful. And God's put his finger on those areas and he's pushing and he's dealing with it. Don't let his hand go off your life. Allow him to continue to do the work that he needs to do on your life. See, what happens is if the clay is left, it becomes marred. And I don't know if you've ever met anyone in church, don't look to your left or to your right, that has been following Jesus, but you know, it's a little rough on the edges. It's a little rough on the edges, and maybe it's not as soft and pliable as it used to be. And the truth is, we, no matter our age, we need God's shaping and molding. And this is the last thing you want in your life. Watch this. The last thing you want God to do is to go, "Okay, Jesse, have it your way." In Psalm 51, David said this. He said, "Don't take your presence from me." Whatever you do, God, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you need to do, God, do not take your presence from me. What was he saying? He was saying, "God, don't take your hands off my life. No matter how difficult, no matter how challenging, don't take your hands off my life. I want you to continue to work and mold me and shape me." See, the truth is, if the clay gets a bit hard, it only takes a little bit of water to soften it up again. And your life and my life, when it gets a little hard and we think, you know what, I'm not where I want to be with the Lord. I want God to continue to do some things in my heart and life. I thought I would be further down the track with this area of my life. The living water of God can come and cause your heart to be soft again, to be the same as it used to be, molded in the hands of God. I want to encourage you. Maybe you're here tonight and God is saying to you, there's some areas that I'm dealing with. And I've been pushing on areas in your heart and life. And don't run away from it. Say, God, deal with it in my heart and life. I want to invite the worship team to come up as I pray for you. The fourth and final thing is disciples respond in obedience. Disciples hear the voice of God. Disciples cultivate a hunger for God. Disciples allow God to shape them. And finally, disciples respond in obedience. Moses said, here I am. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. These are words of surrender. You can have it all, God. You know the verse in Romans 12, verse 1 that says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. D.L. Moody said, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. I'll say it again because a few people got it. The problem with a living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. We say, God, here I am. And then we take control back. We say, God, here I am. Do whatever you want to. And then we get a mortgage and we're like, no, thank you. We say, here, God, I'll do whatever. And then it gets too busy, too difficult, too many responsibilities. And then we take control back of our lives. But I got to tell you, as a surrendered disciple, you need to be obedient to God. When he says something, you are crossing a line and saying, I'm going to follow you wherever it takes me. Disciples recognize his voice. Maybe today you haven't heard the voice of God for a while. And as you've read the word, as you've prayed, as you've been in church, you're like, I want my ears to be open to the voice again. I want to hear his voice. Maybe you need to cultivate a hunger. Your hunger has diminished in your walk and you want to dial that up. You want a fresh hunger for the things of God. Or maybe God is shaping you. And when I held that clay up, you didn't have to ask anyone. You knew exactly what God was dealing with. You knew the area that he was pushing on. And maybe that's you today, that you need to say, God, I'm going to allow you to shape my life, shape that area. Don't take your hands off my life. Don't take your hands off my life. Or maybe you need to respond in obedience. God's asked you to do something and you've delayed it. You thought, not now, God. Not now, God. I remember being in a service just like this and God telling Amanda and I when I was very young, we were very young, give $1,000 away in the offering. And I said, I think that's the devil's voice. I heard the voice again, give $1,000. Amanda was on $17,000 a year. I was at Bible college. Most nights were baked beans on toast. Not bad, but cheap food. God said, give it away. And I could have delayed that. I could have said, that's not me. Ask the guy down the row. Ask that guy. I know he's got a better car than me. Ask that. Or I could have gone, you know what, God, you've asked me to do this. What is it that God's asking you to be obedient? Maybe it's to serve. Maybe it's to love a neighbor. Maybe it's to reach out to a friend that doesn't know Jesus. Maybe it is to bless a family. Whatever it is, respond to him. Respond to him in obedience. Before I pray for you, I want to tell you one last story. Amanda and I were at a conference in Malaysia. There was about 3,000 people at the conference, a big conference. And we were sitting a few rows, about three rows in. And the guy who was speaking was a prophet. His name was Dr. Michael Maiden. I don't know if anyone's heard of him. And he's a prophet, and there's 3,000 people there. And for some reason or another, he called us out. Who knows when you get called out and you're like, I think that's Dr. Michael Maiden. I'd never met him before. And it's a prophet. The whole way down, I was like, I'm sorry for kicking the dog. I'm sorry for saying that to my kid. You're repenting because I'm just like, he knows everything anyway. I'm like, just get it out quick. Repent. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And we came down the front, and in front of a huge crowd of people, thousands of people, we are like freaking out. Had our hands open. He comes over, doesn't say anything. And he starts counting. He says, 1, 2, 3. Amanda and I are here. You know when someone's counting and you're trying to pretend you're spiritual? I'm like, yes. The number 3. Yes. 4, 5, 6, 7. He gets to 16 and he stops. And he said, God asked 16 other people to do what you're doing in Thailand, and you're the first to say yes. You might say, well, you were the 17th choice. Is that an encouragement or to be useful to God? You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to be from the right background. You don't have to be perfect. You could be broken. And God would look at you and say, will you be useful for me? Would you put your hand up again and say, I'm going to be obedient to God?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.